Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We've been talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com, about making Sunday special. In order to continue our exploration of this important subject, we're turning to Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from 1987, where Dr. David Maines talks about this very subject. We hope you enjoy this look back at a previous broadcast and also will glean from it the kind of information that will help you as a pastor realize how important it is to teach your congregation to make Sunday the high point of their week. David, share with us what you have for today.
Church bells. In times past, they called worshipers to God's house. In times past, bells announced the hours of the day. Bells signaled the death of a monarch or the birth of a prince. When fire broke out, pealing bells called for help. Many bells meant gather quickly, an enemy approaches. And all this May, we are using the sound of church bells to send a new challenge out across North America from the chapel of the air. Hi, good friend, David Maines greeting you. Suffice it to say that the sound of many bells ringing means listen closely. Something special is in the air. And that's certainly true. What's special is the Sunday challenge being sounded all this month. Here's my wife, Karen, to once again explain the Sunday challenge.
Thank you, David. The Nobel Prize-winning author Sigrid Undset has included a beautiful description of a wedding procession in her trilogy, Kristin Lovren's Daughter. The whole thing is set in medieval Norway. Let me just read a section. Then Lovren took the bride's hand and led her down to Erland. The bridegroom lifted her to the saddle and himself mounted. Just after sunset, the bridal train rode back to Jorungard. Through the first falling folds of darkness, the bonfires shone out red from the courtyard of the bridal house. Minstrels and fiddlers were singing and making drums and fiddles speak as the crowd of riders drew near to the warm red glare of fires. The New Testament teaching is that Christ will marry his bride, the church, at his second coming. And our relationship to him now is akin to that of betrothal. In truth, we, the church, are Christ betrothed, waiting for the day of a heavenly bridal procession. In the Middle East, a marriage began sometimes years before the actual ceremony with betrothal, in which a man in the eyes of the community was as good as married to his betrothed. This union could only be dissolved by divorce, such as when Joseph realized that Mary was with child and, quote, resolved to divorce her quietly, unquote. Betrothal was considered complete except for the privilege of sexual intimacy. But when finally the time for betrothal was ended and the wedding ceremony was near, the bridegroom would leave his house, which was the center of the festivities, and with all his friends, musicians and celebrants and dancers, he would make his way to the bride's house where a simple marriage ritual took place. Then, taking her by the hand, he would bring her back to his father's house for the wedding feast, which could sometimes last for days. Christ's parable of the 10 virgins tells about waiting for the bridegroom in this context of the groom coming to the bride's house and taking her back to his own home. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And Christ continually referred to himself as the bridegroom. Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. We, the church, are Christ's betrothed. We are as married to him as married can be. He's our loving bridegroom, faithful and true. But there's some dimension of intimacy yet to be consummated. One day, he will leave his father's house and come to our house and take for his bride the church. He will secure his beloved. The relationship will be consummated. Complete intimacy will be gained. There will be a wedding feast in his father's house to which invitations will be extended. Revelation says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." But for now, we wait in an imperfect middle time. Betrothed ones suffering from the effects of a ruined Eden, filled with longing for a perfect place, time, and society. And the waiting is long, and we forget the features of our beloved, and other suitors begin to woo our attention. Paul warns the New Testament church of this. 2 Corinthians 2-3 states, "I feel a divine jealousy for you, for I betrothed you to Christ to present you as a pure bride to her husband. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." It's our duty as Christ's beloved to be ready for that heavenly bridal procession by developing the habit of waiting. We mustn't forget our intended is coming. We mustn't allow the memory of his features to blur. We must keep his name upon our lips. We must not allow our love to fade. Keeping Sunday with a Sabbath heart helps us to develop this discipline. Each Sunday, week in and week out, is a time we set aside for looking at the picture of the one we love, for rereading his letters and listening to his voice. Sunday is a holy festival that foreshadows that one great celebration supper of the wedding feast of the bride and the Lamb. Now, this concept of the married relationship was inherent to Jewish understanding of the Sabbath. An ancient Jewish allegory states, "After the work of creation was completed, the seventh day pleaded, 'Master of the universe, all thou hast created is in couples. To every day of the week thou gavest a mate. Only I was left alone.' And God answered, 'The community of Israel will be your mate.'" With this Sabbath understanding combined with our Sunday observance, that Sunday is a foreshadowing of the one great celebration supper of the wedding feast of the bride and the Lamb, suddenly, Sunday becomes the high point of our week. It becomes a festival day in which we celebrate the spiritual presence of our Lord as our loved one. How dare we, the church, pull dour faces and downcast eyes? How dare we dread this day? According to Levitical law, no fasting was allowed in the Old Testament Sabbath, and even the seven-day period of mourning was interrupted for Sabbath observance. The Jews say, even now, the Messiah will not come on Shabbat because he is already with us on that day. If we Christians could only learn to participate in Sunday with the same Sabbath understanding, Christ, Lord Sabaoth, is with us in his spiritual presence as a promise, as a reminder, as a foreshadowing of the reality of his coming to take us as his bride to his father's house. We need to go to church with hearts that are dancing because our Lord, our beloved, the one who gave his own body as forfeit for our rescue from the dark clutches of an evil lover, this one will meet with us on Sunday in a special way. Here at the Chapel of the Air, the broadcast team is issuing a challenge throughout the whole month of May. We're asking you to take up the Sunday challenge, to renew your attitudes about the Lord's Day. We're asking you to join with God's people throughout North America in one, choose to make Sunday the high point of your week. 2, begin your Sunday preparations on Saturday at the latest. 3, promise to set aside a regular weekly time of prayer for your pastors. And 4, Expect God to honor your obedience with the reality of Christ's presence when your church gathers. Taking up the Sunday challenge could change your life. It could change the life of a nation. I know it's changed mine. I'm a middle-aged woman with 26 years of married life behind me. When I go to church, staid and contained, properly composed on the outside, when I bow quietly in prayer, I'm nevertheless dancing within my soul. Within, I'm a bride, lifting my heart in song to the hymns of the church, but hearing in the far-off distance the beat of a wedding drum, the sound of the tambourine. The young men are gathering by the gate at the Father's house with laughter and low voices and minstrels, my Lord the tallest among them. A bridal procession is forming. My hand trembles as it takes the communion cup. He is near. The wedding chamber is being made ready. I am suddenly warmed with the thought of this spiritual intimacy, this Sabbath rest ahead that we only taste now. I return to my place in the hard pew among my friends, their heads bowed in prayer, the choir singing, the light filtering through the stained glass windows, the church bell beginning to call, and I am quiet again, composed, serene. The sound of the wedding drum has faded, and we leave the church, nodding to acquaintances, shaking the hands of our pastor, smiling. But inside, I'm still dancing. I have heard him speak my name in whispers, but one day the very heavens will break with his shout, "Beloved," and I know I'll be ready to answer, as though I were the only one. Do you understand why Sunday has become the high point of the week for me?
Thank you for joining us for this time together. You found this SermonCoach.com podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's Sermon-Coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where you will find resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and life-transforming services. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.